Listen to It Fizz.
First aid for relief from headache, Alka-Seltzer.
For relief from acid indigestion, Alka-Seltzer.
For relief from cold discomfort, Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer presents the Quiz Kids and the chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
School. Here's today's first question. Judging by his name alone, what famous writer should have written Betty McDonald's first book? Now, you quiz kids and you folks at home be thinking about that while we have roll call. And here we go. Patrick?
I'm Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 13 years old, and I'm a freshman at Calumet High School in Chicago.
Lonnie?
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 14 years old and a sophomore at Main Township High School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Brenda.
I'm Brenda Liebling. I'm 6 years old. I'm in High First in Gasco, Chicago, Illinois.
Joe.
I'm Joe Coverman. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a junior at Roosevelt High School.
And an out-of-town quiz kid, Alan.
I'm Alan Goldman, 13 years old, a freshman in East High School in Auburn, New York.
You see, Alan is a winner from the local quiz kids program heard over station WSYR, Syracuse, New York, under the sponsorship of the Savings Banks Association of New York State. And we're mighty happy to have you here this afternoon, Alan. And I know you're going to enjoy the surprise guest we have, for it's none other than Tito Gazzar, the singing idol of all the Americas. Yes, Tito Gazzar is right here in our classroom, so let's get our schoolwork out of the way, kids, so we can meet him. Now back to that first question from Richard Weaver of Stoneham, Massachusetts. Judging by his name alone, what famous writer should have written Betty McDonald's first book? We have two hands up, and Pat's hand was first.
Well, wasn't Betty McDonald's first book The Egg and I?
The Egg and I?
Well, it might be Mother Goose.
Well, no, we're talking of a famous writer now, Lonnie.
Bacon.
Bacon. Francis Bacon. That's the answer. Well, we're off to a flying start. Now to answer this question from Mrs. Nancy O'Brien of Detroit, Michigan. You are to tell me what historical event took place at this spot, but I'll spell the place backwards. Here's the first one, XOTTAMOPPA. Joel.
That was Appomattox, the surrender after the Civil War.
That's a boy, that's correct, uh-huh. The next part is the name of someone's wife. I'll spell her name backwards. E-double-P-I-T-N-A-X. Pat.
Well, that was Xantippe, and that was Socrates' wife.
That's right. Good boy. Nice point, Daddy. And right here, I want to remind you folks listening in that it can pay you to think up a question for the quiz kids. Yes, if your question is used on our radio program and answered correctly, our sponsor, the makers of Alka-Seltzer, sends you a Zenith portable radio. Now, this is the super-powered transoceanic Zenith that gives worldwide reception no matter where you are, and take it from yours truly, it's a dandy. On the other hand, when your question is missed, our sponsor gives you a choice between a Zenith television set and a large console Zenith radio phonograph combination. The television set is that wonderful Zenith Buchanan with a new super range chassis to ensure the ultimate in performance. It has the sensational built-in picture magnet aerial, single knob automatic tuning, and the glare band black tube for clearer pictures. The large Zenith console radio phonograph is a real beauty. It plays all types of records and has AM and FM radio. So, I repeat, friends, it can pay you to send in a question for our radio program. Send your questions to Quiz Kids, Box Y, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now here's our next question. Mrs. J.G. Delosier of Newport Beach, California, points out that sometimes small and trifling objects assume great importance. She wonders if you know when a piece of string was important in these instances. First, you must get 2 out of 3 on this. When did a piece of red string save the life of a woman and her family? A piece of red string. Brenda.
Well, I don't know if this was a red string exactly, but it might be Rahab.
Well, it really was cord, honey, so that's very good. In the Bible, that's right, Rahab, the Canaanite woman, mm-hmm, and her family. Well, now, here's the second part. In what story did a piece of string cast a suspicion of falsehood on a man and finally cause his death? Patrick?
Well, I think that was a novel called The Piece of String by de Maupassant.
That's right. That's the boy. Uh-huh. How was a piece of string used in making one of the most important discoveries of modern times? Lonnie?
Well, that was the discovery of how... Well, I'm not sure what the principle was, but it was Isaac Newton who used a piece of string to discover, I guess it was gravity. The principles of gravity.
Well, that's pretty good, Lonnie. I'm thinking of something else, Pat.
Well, I was thinking of Benjamin Franklin when he tied the string to his kite, and of
that's
course there was...
Right, that's the one I was thinking of. Mrs. Robert Carey of Elwood City, Pennsylvania, thinks many parents watch their children longingly as they start out for school each morning and wish they could be unseen visitors and experience an ordinary day at school right along with the children. So to please Mrs. Carey, I would like to go down the line and give each of you 30 seconds to name as fast as you can what you do at school from the minute you first arrive. I'm going to start off with Joel, and we'll see who can name the most items in 30 seconds, and for every item you name, you'll receive a shiny new dime. So, Joel, get set now. 1, 2, 3, go.
Well, in my secretary job, I arrange the files for the teacher, and I also file absence notes, and sometimes I run errands. And in Latin, sometimes I recite. And, in history, we do work out of the Observer. And, we sometimes go into the text, and we work on outlines and reference reading. And in English, sometimes we write compositions and give oral talks.
Uh-oh, time is up. Time is up, Joel. Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 dimes. 90 cents. Not bad. Not bad. All right, now, Lonnie is next. Get set. 1, 2, 3, go, Lonnie.
Well, I go up to the music room. I tune my viola, rosin my bow, go down to my locker, unlock my lock, go to my homeroom, take out my books, go to my English class, go to my orchestra class, put away my violin, go to lunch, go down to the gym after lunch is through, go to my world history class, read my weekly newspaper, go to gym, put on my gym clothes, take a shower.
Oh, that's there. That's there. Boy, say, time certainly goes by fast. Yes, sir. All right, let's see how many. 16 for Lonnie. Oh, $1.60. Well, say. All right, now, Brenda, you're next. Now, real fast. 1, 2, 3, go.
Errands, spelling, writing, reading, errands.
Keep and, it going. What else?
Errands.
Errands, yeah, more errands. And some more errands.
Teacher asked me to go up and write things on the blackboard.
Yes, how many things do you write on the blackboard?
Sometimes we go to recess. Then we go out for lunch. Then we go home, of course.
Yeah.
Then we,
Uh-oh, time is up, Brenda. Well, let's see now. We'll check. How many for Brenda? 10, an even dollar. Well, good for you, Brenda. Now then, Alan, you're next. Remember, real fast. 1, 2, 3, go.
Go to my locker, put my clothes in my locker, take my books out of my locker, go to homeroom, go to first bell class, write on the blackboard, gym, go to the library, go to lunch, go to my fifth bell class, read the newspaper, social.
How many
do
pages
homework in homeroom?
time's up. Time's up. How many for Alan now? 13, $1.30. All right, now, Patrick, me by. You are last. Get set. 1, 2, 3, go.
Go to my locker, open it up, put in my coat, put in my hat, put in my books, take out the books I need, close my locker, lock it, go down to my first period class, take out a book, start writing. The bell rings, I go to my second period class, take out a book, I walk out, I go to my third period class, and go to my fourth period class, then I eat lunch. And then I pay for the lunch. Then I go out to my fifth period class. And then I go out to Latin and recite some in there. Then I open up the door and go out and close the door after me. Go out to my sixth period class.
All time is up, Pat. Well, well, well. Well, 24 dimes for Patrick, $2.40. Nice going, kids. That was a lot of fun. And now then, here's Bob Murphy with a word for you folks who have never tried Alka-Seltzer for relief from the pain of a headache.
Yes, friends, and what I have to say is this. You're missing out on mighty fast, mighty effective relief if you don't take Alka-Seltzer when you're feeling miserable with a headache. I mean that. Alka-Seltzer contains one of the world's most effective pain-relieving agents, sodium acetyl salicylate. In Alka-Seltzer, this wonderful pain reliever is ready to go right to work to help relieve your headache. Now, all we ask you to do is try it. Alka-Seltzer will do the rest. Yes, next time you're feeling logy and miserable with a headache, just drop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets into water, watch those thousands of tiny bubbles swirl up in your glass, and then drink this sparkling solution. See how soon you begin to feel better. I repeat, all we ask you to do is give Alka-Seltzer a try. If you're not satisfied with the fast, effective relief it gives, you get your money back. That's Alka-Seltzer in the friendly blue and white package at all drugstores.
All right, kids, back to more schoolwork. Mrs. Marion Gordon of Los Angeles, California, says that the following three names sound like they belong together, but actually they have nothing to do with each other. Can you identify them? Here they are, Trigby, Higby, and Kigby. Alan?
Well, Trigby is Trigby Lee of the United Nations.
Right.
And Higby could be Kirby Higby, who was a former baseball pitcher.
That's a boy. And Kigby?
Well, that was in Al Capp's cartoons. It was, you'd kick him when you got mad.
Very good, Alan. Very good. All three of them. Wonderful. Now, since nearly everyone makes toast, and since nearly everyone gets pressed for time now and then, this question from Rita R. England of Boston, Massachusetts, ought to interest us all. Now, to help you quiz kids visualize this question, I have here a toaster that is the type which toasts one side of two slices of bread at a time, see? And I have three pieces of bread. Now, the question is, if you can toast one side of a slice of bread in 30 seconds, what is the shortest length of time in which you can toast three slices of bread on both sides, and how would you do it? Joel?
I imagine it would take 90 seconds, or a minute and a half. And let's see, call the slices 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
First slice, toast the top side of 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Then the bottom of 1 and the top of 3, and then the bottom of 2 and 3.
That's it. That's just how you do it. I hope you all remember that. It's time in the morning. Nice going, Joel. Nice going. William Wilcox of Buffalo, New York, wants to know what parts of a ship the names of these well-known people suggest. First, a former Secretary of State. What part of a ship? Lonnie.
Cordell Hull.
Cordell Hull. That's right, the Hull. And the next part, a famous sports announcer. Pat.
Well, that'd be Bill Stern.
Bill Stern. That is correct. Very good. Now, this question from Edward Gibson of New Hartford, New York, ought to give you quiz kids a good workout. I'll give you the first name of a figure famous in sports and the era in which he was most famous, and you are to give his last name and identify his sport. All right, now, first, Felix in the 1940s. Felix in the 1940s. Alan.
Felix Doc Blanchard, a football,
football
player for Army.
That's right. Good boy. Next one, Kerry in the 1940s. Lonnie.
Kerry Middlecoff, golf.
Golf is right. Bronco in the 1930s. Pat.
Bronco Nagurski, football. And
right, is correct.
And some others.
Wade in the 1920s. Alan?
Wade Hoyt, baseball player, New York Yankees.
Very good. Gilmore in the 1920s. Gilmore in the 1920s. Sort of a gloomy fellow. Lonnie.
Well, that's a football player, Gloomy Gil Dolby or something like that.
That's right, right. Uh-huh, that's very good. How about Byron in the 1940s? Joel?
Oh, that'd be Byron Nelson in golf.
Golf, correct. Enos in the 1940s. Alan?
Enos Slaughter, baseball.
Correct. Fielding in the 1920s and 30s. Lonnie?
Fielding Yost, football.
Mm-hmm. Mordecai from 1900 to 1910. Joel?
That'd be Mordecai Brown, pitcher for the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, that's wonderful, kids. Say, that's fine. Boy, did we really scoot along on that one. Now, here's a little rhyming game submitted by Dr. C.T. Hickok of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I want you kids to take your own first name, use it in a sentence, rhyming it with a word preceding it. For example, I could take my name and say, I need plenty of dough, Joe. You get the idea? All right. Now, who wants to be first? Your own first name, Patrick?
Well, I'm not a fat Pat, or...
You're not a fat Pat. Well, that's all right. That's, I'll say you're not. Joel?
Hand me the pole, Joel.
Hand me the pole, Joel. Lonnie?
Well, let's see. Are you an ex-con, Lon?
Oh, now, Lonnie. Oh, dear, dear. Alan?
I'm not a gal, Al.
Well, hey, you kids are cutting down on your names. Well, you got to do that, I guess. Brenda, have you thought of one, honey?
Let's see.
Let's see. That is quite difficult. Brenda, let's see. Well, can we get to rhyme? You think a little longer, and Pat has thought.
Well, you're a rat, Pat.
A rat, Pat. All right. And have you thought of one, Brenda?
Uh-uh.
I wonder if any of you kids could help Brenda out. Joel?
Help a friend of Brenda.
Help a friend of Brenda. Well, now that's all right. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Well, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Well, we get along. Here's a question from Mrs. Fred Robertson of Finchville, Kentucky, that may supply you with some useful information. Now, suppose you're out on a hike and you saw a cliff in the distance you wanted to climb, but you're afraid it might be farther off than it looks. And you are to try to estimate its distance in the following simple manner. First, give a good loud yell, and then look at your watch. If 10 seconds later you hear the echo, how far away is the cliff? Joel?
Well, light travels 1,100 feet per second in air. And since it has to go there and back in order to get the distance, let's see, you'd have to multiply 550 by 10, so it'd be 5,500 feet off.
55. What did you say travels 1,100 feet?
No, pardon me, not light, sound.
Sound, that's what I thought. Uh-huh. All right, that's correct, Joel. That's very good. Now, in just a moment, we're going to hear from our special guest, Tito Gazzar. But first, I see Bob Murphy is planning to take over now. Is this going to be a little scene, Bob? Maybe a visit to some of your friends?
Well, that's right, Joel. That's exactly what it is. The time is about 11:30 tonight. And the man of the house is saying...
Well, how was it, dear? Did you have a good time?
Oh, I guess so. Yes, I did. But why did we stay so late?
I don't know. It was my fault, I suppose. I get to talking and... Oh, why did you let me eat so much, Joan? My stomach is beginning to feel uncomfortable.
Poor darling. But that apple pie and cheese was wonderful, wasn't it?
I must have thought so. I had two pieces. But if acid indigestion keeps me tossing and turning all night, I don't know how I'll ever get up and get to work in the morning.
Well, don't worry. We'll make sure you get your sleep. I'll fix you a glass of Alka-Seltzer right now. You know, if you take Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed, it'll relieve an acid-upset stomach, so you sleep better and wake up feeling better next morning.
Yes, that's right, friends. Why let the discomfort of acid indigestion rob you of a good night's sleep? Take Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. See how much better you sleep, how much better you feel next morning. Try it next time late refreshments result in acid indigestion. Take Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. Keep Alka-Seltzer on hand all of the time. Get it in either the 30 or 60 cent size package at any drugstore.
Yes, remember that advice, friends. It's really good. All right, kids. Now, I'm not going to keep you children and our listeners in suspense any longer. For right now, it's time to introduce our famous guest, who's appearing in Chicago in the beautiful Swiss chalet at the Bismarck Hotel, the very handsome and talented singing idol of all the Americas, Tito Gazzar and his golden guitar. Hey,
thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome you to our classroom, Tito.
Muchísimas gracias, señor. Encantado de estar con todos ustedes y al mismo tiempo de presentarme en este programa, el cual admiro muchísimo, y al mismo tiempo hacerles unas preguntas a estos niños prodigios.
Oh, well, Tito, what does that mean?
Well, that means I love the quiz kids.
Oh, well, say, for a moment there, you had me worried, you know. Yeah. All right.
Really, Joe, believe me, I really enjoy being in the show. It's one of the thrills I have here in Chicago to come and say hello to all those boys. I hear the show every week. I enjoy it very much. And when I have a headache, I use Bromo Seltzer, too.
Oh.
Well, well, quiz kids, my question will be in the form of a little game I play with the audience at the Bismarck every night. I play and sing a few bars of a popular song, and we'll see if any of you children can identify it. Are you ready now?
Well, now, wait just a minute, Tito. Here's an added surprise, quiz kids. If you identify the song before he sings two lines, Tito will be glad to pay up by giving whoever answers correctly an autographed record of one of his RCA Victor recordings. Isn't that right, Tito?
Absolutely, senor.
All right, everyone. All right, amigo. Get all set for the first one.
Well, here's a song that I introduced here in Good USA a few years ago, and it goes like this. La da la da la da la da la. Okay.
El Rancho Grande.
Absolutely right. Boy, let's give him a record.
All right, Lonnie received one of your recordings.
Absolutely. And Lonnie was... Well, they know their song.
Well, absolutely. All right. Well,
here's the second one. This song is older than any of you, and it's older than myself, too. It goes like this. La di la da da la da da la da la di.
That La Joe? Paloma.
La Paloma, Joe, is absolutely right. We'll give a record to Joe. Oh, that's wonderful. Now we have another one.
Well, now, pardon me just a moment, Tito.
Okay, Joe.
Just to show you folks how versatile Tito is, I've asked him to sing an opera aria for this next one, and you kids are to identify the opera. Now, he is taking the role of a count who has assumed the name of Lindor, and here he is.
How about Brenda? Do you know it?
Well, that would be from The Marriage of Figaro.
No, I'm sorry. How about you?
Well, that'd be from The Barber of Seville.
No, I don't think so. How about you,
Joe? Well, I was just going to say that it was from The Barber of Seville, because the count who took the name of Lindor was the Count of Almaviva. And...
That's right. He's correct.
Oh, that's absolutely... Well, that was Brenda first, then.
Huh?
It wasn't it? Brenda was first, then.
Well, no, she was... She answered incorrectly. She said the Marriage of Figaro.
Oh, no, that's right.
It's the Barber of Seville.
That's right.
Fine.
So, who was that?
Joe. Joe. Okay, Pat.
Oh, Pat. Well, we'll leave it to Pat now.
All right.
That's right. Now, let's see. We have this one. See how you can do. La da 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 da. I'll give you the title again. La da 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 da. Oh, what happened? Nothing?
No hands up. Well, perhaps you'd better tell them. Maybe somebody in the audience, Tito.
Somebody in the
Guadalajara,
absolutely right. Guadalajara, it's right.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I just want... You know, it's all right for a game, but I would like to hear... I'm sure everybody else would, too, like to hear you sing a little more of that, huh?
You'd like to hear it? Okay.
All right.
If you'd like to hear it, I'd like to sing it. Guadalajara, Guadalajara. Guadalajara, Guadalajara. Tienes el alma de provinciana, hueles a limpio, rosa temprana. A verde jade fresca del río, son mis palomos tu caserío. Guadalajara, Guadalajara, hueles a pura tierra mojada.
Oh, it feels good when you do that.
Ay, colomitos lejanos. Ay, ojitos de agua hermanos. Ay, colomitos inolvidables, inolvidables como las tardes en que la lluvia desde la loma irnos hacía hasta Zapopan. Ah,
Guadalajara, Guadalajara.
Thank you, Tito. That was wonderful. Yes, sir. That was wonderful. We've all enjoyed your visit to our classroom and hope you come to see us again.
Well, can I say, por besar sus lindos ojos, yo no sé lo que daría si eres linda, preciosa, encantadora, lindísima mujercita, nada más seré para ti.
And what does that mean?
Thank you.
Oh.
Okay. Well, listen, Joe, before I leave, I'd like to say that little Brenda didn't get a record. Shall we give out to little
Brenda? Oh, absolutely.
Hey, how about little Brenda? Do you get
all
one,
right,
Alan? All right, how about Alan?
Well, fine.
Okay,
we
give
Alan
a record
too.
To Alan,
all the
too.
Kids have a recording.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about Don Jose?
Oh.
Joe, Joe.
Oh,
let's give a record to Don Jose.
Thank you very much.
And now, thank you again. Well, it's been a pleasure. Good night.
Goodbye, Tito. Goodbye. Yes, sir. And Tito, the next time you have a headache, use Alka-Seltzer. Now, for this question from Mrs. Barbara Peterson of New York, you are to transpose the letters of the abbreviation of one of our states, kids, and get the abbreviation of a famous news service. All right. What is it? Lonnie.
Well, Pennsylvania's abbreviation is PA. That'd
PA?
Be AP, Associated Press.
That's right. That's a boy. Good boy. Well, say, that's our bell. And, of course, it's time to hear what the judges have to say about your grades. We'll have this information in just a minute. Meantime, here's an important message.
Mothers, here's why you should give your children one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. To have perfect health, normal growth, strong bones, and good teeth, to be alert in the classroom and on the playground, children must get proper food and enough vitamins. Mothers, make sure your children get enough vitamins. Give each one of them a one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsule every day. Now, this will furnish their needed supply of the essential vitamins. Guard them against vitamin deficiency disease. Be sure it's one-a-day brand multiple vitamins, the kind with the big one on the blue package.
Well, kids, I have your grades now, but first I want to say that we certainly enjoyed having Alan Goldman, our guest quiz kid, with us this afternoon. Alan, I'm sure your sponsor and station are very, very proud of you. And the makers of Alka-Seltzer are giving you a $100 savings bond to help you with your future education. That's the award every Sunday for every member of our Quiz Kids board. And by the way, friends, there's no better investment for any of us than savings bonds. Make your plans for future security safe and sure. Invest in United States savings bonds. Now then, your grades, kids. The judges report that as a class, you missed one question today, and because he was a guest, Alan wasn't scored. So Lonnie was first, Patrick second, and Joel third. That means you three will be back in school next week, and here to compete with you, we'll have Millie A. Levin, age 7, and Mike Mullen, age 12. And as a special guest in our class next Sunday, we'll welcome America's number one interpreter of modern song, Frankie Lane, whose latest picture, When You're Smiling, has just opened here in Chicago. And I know you'll enjoy school next week, friends, so plan to be with us, won't you? Fine. Until then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz, kids. Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye,
bye,
Mr. Kelly.
Kelly.
Listen to the Quiz Kids coast to coast every Sunday afternoon and see and hear Alka-Seltzer's Quiz Kids television show on NBC. Consult your local newspaper for time and station. This is Bob Murphy speaking.
Hear the Falcon and the new detective Charlie Wilde today on NBC.